Good morning. I encourage you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 92. We'll look at a few verses there, beginning at verse 12. In this message, I've entitled Spiritual Maturity in our The New Life series that we're looking at, this new life in Christ. J. Oswald Sanders wrote, "Spiritual maturity is not easy to define, but you can tell when it's present. It is the fragrance of the garden of the Lord, the power to change the atmosphere around you, the influence that makes Christ real to others. If we are to experience spiritual growth in the new life, we need to know what Christian maturity looks like according to God's design." Psalm 92, let's look at those verses 12 to 15. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And there is no to declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." What characterizes spiritually mature Christians? Spiritually mature believers are confident in God. They know that he is all-powerful. They know that he can take care of whatever problem that they have. And so they trust him. They're confident in him. They know God personally. They've got to know him through his word, and they are seeking to get to know him more and more intimately and personally. They seek God's will. They want to understand what is it that God wants from their life. What is it that God wants, how he wants to use them in service to him, serving him, representing him in this world. They are humble servants. They realize that this is not their work, but it's his work, and they are serving him. They follow Christ's example. We watch what Jesus Christ has done, and we seek to do that same thing, seeking to be more and more like him. They enjoy obeying God. We want to be pleasing to God. Mature Christians, spiritually mature believers, want to be pleasing to God. They want him to see them favorably. They love God and they love others. Spiritually mature believers just grow in their love relationship with God, and they love those who God loves and those others who love God. And spiritually mature believers depend on God. They know that he is the source. He is the one who makes everything possible, that he is sufficient for all things. Verse 12 of our passage in Psalm 92 likens growing believers to palm trees. The writer was most likely referring to the date palm that grows in the Arabian desert. And I want to focus in right here in these few verses, because that is the key. There are three qualities of that palm tree, the date palm, that can help us picture the spiritually mature Christian. First of all, the spiritually mature Christian thrives for Christ in the world. Again, verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." The date palm tree grows slowly, but it grows steadily from year to year, decade to decade, even century to century. Many date palms are hundreds of years old. It just stands there, yielding fruit from generation to generation. and it continues to bear fruit in old age. The date palm grows in the desert, a place that's not conducive to growth. This world is a desert it's a desert experience for every Christian. And yet, true believers thrive in it like date palm trees do in the Arabian desert. John chapter 15 and verse 19. Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So this world is not a conducive place to the growing and mature Christian. John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying in the upper room. Verse 12, "While I was with them in this world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Jesus sends his servants to serve him in this world. But this world is no longer our home as Christians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle John reinforces this thought. Verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to verse 17. We are to thrive in a very often hostile world. And it's always been this way. There have always been believers who have thrived in the midst of evil, in the midst of sin. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." In verse 25, Methuselah begot Lamech. And then jump down to verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah. Noah, we're talking about Noah, the one who built the ark for the flood. His great-grandfather, Enoch, walked with God faithfully as the world became more and more sinful, moving toward the destruction by the flood. And he's referenced in Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith, in verses 5 and 6. In fact, his story introduces a very familiar verse and a very important verse as believers, as those who are growing, spiritually mature, serving the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then that goes right into verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Another believer who thrived spiritually amongst wickedness was Lot, who lived in Sodom. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed them because of their evil and because of their wickedness. Lot lived there. In fact, he was taken out just before the destruction. Well, we don't learn this about the record of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't learn this about Lot, what he was like. But if you go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 6, it records that God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Amidst all of this world's temptations, troubles, and even persecution, by grace, a Christian can thrive and grow into the likeness of Christ. Spiritually growing Christians will thrive in all places, in all seasons, in all circumstances, whether easy or difficult. The dryness and the hot wind of the desert will not produce a wheat crop, and yet date palms flourish. And they form shade against the sun for those in the desert. In an oasis of palms, there is an amount of shade that will allow fruit trees to grow. Lemons, oranges, and pomegranates will grow in the shade of the date palms in an oasis. Even a vine can grow and begin to climb on the palm trees. A Chinese proverb reads, "Do not be afraid of growing slowly. Be afraid only of standing still." Spiritual growth can be a slow, incremental process, but it's usually some periodic growth bursts followed by plateaus of varying lengths. Think about the growth of trees. Most trees grow rapidly over about 4 to 6 weeks in the spring. During the rest of the year, that new growth solidifies and becomes sturdy. We grow spiritually in a similar way. Spurts of growth will be followed by times of strengthening that growth as maturing believers. An interesting fact is that no dust adheres to the leaf of the date palm the way it does to other trees. It is that interesting picture. The Christian is called to be in the world and not of it. The dust or the sin of the world will not adhere to the spiritually mature believer. And the leaf of the date palm stays the same. It never falls off. It's an evergreen, essentially. And so is a mature Christian an evergreen for Christ and His work. Second, the spiritually mature Christian receives unseen nourishment. Verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The palm tree grows in the sand, but the sand is not its food. A water source below the surface of the sand, that surface of sand, feeds the tree's taproots, even when there's no rain. So the life and the greenness of the palm's branches are a witness to that unseen root by which they live. In the same way, the spiritual growth and fruitfulness of a believer is a witness to Jesus Christ, the one who gives him life. John chapter 15, verse 5, down to about verse 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Christians can grow without green pastures, without streams. They can grow just as the date palm does in the desert sand. Joseph grew among the cat worshippers of Egypt. Daniel grew in the midst of the decadence and idolatry of Babylon. Someone wrote, the fullness of Christ is manifested by the fruitfulness of a Christian. John chapter 4, verse 13, 14. Speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said, he answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The penetrating root of faith in Christ will reach to the fountain of living waters. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 speaks to this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then third, the spiritually mature Christian produces in old age. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The date palm bears fruit in bunches, much like grapes, and can produce as much as 300 pounds of dates annually. The best fruit of the date palm is produced when the tree is between 30 and 100 years old. A spiritually mature Christian becomes even more useful as he or she grows older. And do you know why? Well, as we apply the principles learned from God's Word, we become more aware of our own shortcomings. And we tend to grow more patient with the less mature, helping them to grow to maturity. The young Christian is attractive for ministry, with all the excitement and the energy for Jesus Christ. I remember as a new Christian wanting to learn as much as I could I would study, and I would get as many study tools as I could when I was in Bible class, in Sunday school. I would take the study book, then I would subscribe to and order all of the resources, the commentaries, the teachers' materials, the archaeological and background information, and I would study all that material for each class. Often, I was more prepared than the teachers were for the class. I just wanted to learn as much as I possibly could. I also wanted to serve everywhere I could. Whenever there was an opportunity, whenever there was a need for a volunteer, whenever there was a project to do, whenever there was an area to serve, I volunteered. I was ready to do it. I was always available. So the young Christian is attractive for ministry because has all that excitement and energy for Jesus. The older, mature Christian is valuable in ministry, practiced in overcoming temptations and sin because of discipline, developing spiritual discipline in his or her life. Faithful in discipleship, commitment to be involved in those activities that cause spiritual growth, experienced in giving wise counsel because of applied truth over many years, being able to use that experience in order to counsel others. Willing to make ministry sacrifices, investment in the ministry and in people of the ministry. Confident in God's power. Some of the greatest prayer warriors in the church are the older, mature Christians. The last days of spiritually mature believers are sometimes their best days. In their last work, sometimes their best work. I believe the Apostle Paul reveals the path to spiritual maturity. It's in a mindset, and it's in a commitment to a goal. And what's that goal? That goal is God's glory. But it's a mindset and a commitment to a goal. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then he goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he personalizes what he's talking about here in being willing for God to do a work in his life and allow persecution and suffering to cause him to grow in trials. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. The Apostle Paul got to see things in revelations of the Lord that others have never seen. He said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure because of what I experienced. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. So, All of the problems and troubles that come into my life, all of the trials, all the issues, they cause me to grow. That I might become more like Christ, that I might become more useful. And then he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained, here's the goal, you see, for God's glory. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see? And it's this relationship with God. It's the Word of God that gives us what we need in order to have that mindset and to move toward that goal of glorifying God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, a spiritually mature Christian will continue to produce in ministry in old age. But listen, you don't have to be old to be mature in Christ. You can be middle-aged and mature. You can be a young adult and mature, or even a teenager and mature. In fact, I want to close with a story about a teenager. A familiar story, but from a little bit different perspective. The maturity of this teenager and the maturity of her parents. Cassie Bernal was the 17-year-old student who died for her faith in Columbine High School in April 20th, 1999. Fellow students Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold stormed the school and gunned down 12 students and one teacher before taking their own lives. Cassie was the brave young lady who took a bullet because of her faith in Christ. One of the gunmen had yelled, "Anybody in here believe in God?" With all the students lying on the floor, Cassie stood up and replied, "Yes, I believe in God. I belong to the Lord Jesus." The young killer then asked why, but shot her before she could answer. A radiant teenager died a martyr, but just a few years prior, she might have been an accomplice to such a massacre. When Cassie was in the ninth grade, her parents, Brad and Misty Bernal, became very concerned about their daughter's behavior. They discovered she was interested in witchcraft and involved with alcohol and drugs. When they searched her room, they found letters that talked about harming parents and other people. The Bernals immediately intervened. Cassie was enrolled in another school and cut off from friends who had exerted evil influence. They regularly searched her belongings and monitored her activities. Apart from school, she could only attend their church. West Bowles Community Church in Littleton, Colorado. Cassie reluctantly went on a weekend youth retreat that changed her life. Her dad said she went away as a gloomy, troubled teen and came back transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. She discovered the joy of salvation that she carried to her early grave. Her transformation can be summarized by the words she shared on a video just 2 days before her death. She said, "You really can't live without Christ. It's like impossible to really have a really true life without Him." Just 2 years earlier, Cassie Bernal was very similar to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. But Jesus Christ changed all of that. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you call each one of us to become spiritually mature. And we are able to become spiritually mature. We can thrive in this world, this evil world that's contrary to us as Christians. And we can grow in the midst of this world which seems contrary by an unseen source of spiritual living water. And we can continue to bear fruit for Christ all through our life and even into old age, that we don't have to stop bearing fruit until that moment that we come to meet you in glory. Father, I just pray that everyone watching or listening to this message would make that commitment to be growing spiritually toward maturity, as the Apostle Paul shows, with the mindset, with the goal of bringing glory to your name. And Father, by your word, that as we apply it, we become more and more useful to your kingdom's work. And Father, we just place all of this before you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.